I think with Rick Pelinen, they'll listen to offers moving forward. I do believe that the Buffalo Sabres are going to want to move a defenseman out. I don't know whether it's going to be this guy by September or October.
This is part of our conversation with Nick Kypreos this morning from Sportsnet in Canada, talking about Rasmus Ristolainen. His name is out there in the trade rumors. You can talk with us this morning at 803-0550 or 888-552-550. It was Pierre LeBrun from TSN who said the Sabres are again talking or speaking with the Tampa Bay Lightning and their GM Julien Brisebois. They spoke about Ristolainen at the trade deadline, and they're talking once again. LeBrun says Tampa is far from the only team that's expressed interest. In fact, now that Jacob Trouba has been traded, I'm told interest has picked up again over the past 24 hours. Ristolainen is probably the top target now for teams eyeing to trade for a top-pairing defenseman. If I'm the Sabres, LeBrun writes, I don't get into a serious discussion with Tampa unless Mikhail Sergachev is on the table. He is in his entry-level contract, a guy who the Sabres could have drafted.
And he's likely to make less than $5 million in his next contract. And one of the big differences between those two is transition. He's much better at moving the puck.
And he might figure prominently in their plans next season.
I will say, so this about Ristolainen and maybe about Tampa, too. You need enough puck movers, right? You need enough of those guys to make it work. The Sabres don't have enough. They have Dahlin.
Montour.
Montour does that.
Hopefully Pilot.
Sure. It's one of the reasons that when the Bruins start talking about trading Torrey Krug, I think, okay, I'll find it.
Bill. Yeah,
so maybe what Tampa says is we've got too many puck movers and we need more balance back there. Like how could Tampa want him and the Sabres not? Tampa's good and the Sabres are not. How do you square that? I don't know. Tampa did lose Steve Yzerman, so we don't really know their new GM.
Julien Brisebois. Yep.
Yeah. Is he good? How do we know?
That's a good question for our next guest. Waiting to tell us a little bit more about Tampa and what they're thinking is Brian Engblom. The former NHL defenseman is on the Lightning telecast. He's their TV analyst.
Sometimes,
he's with us right now.
And sometimes teams decide they want to get a little tougher, a little bit meaner. Pittsburgh just went through this and went the wrong way.
Yeah.
And Tampa, what? Brian, is it a crisis of identity after that first-round exit?
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to panic, guys. They had an historic season. Absolutely fabulous. You can't do any better than that. I just think that they just never got in the right gear mentally in the playoffs. They created a monster in Columbus pretty quickly and couldn't turn that around. I mean, it shocked them. I think their confidence level was there early on in the series, and then all of a sudden you could see that they did panic, like, oh my goodness, we can't get our game going. So there was a realization there and a smack up the side of the head that's going to stay with them all the way until next April, until they can prove something new.
Do you think, to Jeremy's initial question, Brian, do you think there is an element of wanting to add, like Ristolainen certainly is known for playing a tougher, more physical game back there, right? Do you think there is an element of that the Lightning are trying to add?
I think that it would be a valuable thing, yes. I think that they're looking at that. I think that they're looking at size. I don't think that they value size over everything else. There has been talk that they didn't have enough of it over the last couple of years in the playoffs when things really got ramped up physically. So I think that certainly is there. It's probably, you know, I don't know if it's in the front of their mind, but it's certainly there. The physical aspect of the game, playing defense in today's game, for the most part, it doesn't have to be about running at players, although I will, with the caveat of how the finals were played between Boston and St. Louis, I don't think teams are going to try to recreate what St. Louis did, though. And I think Tampa Bay in particular is not a team that can all of a sudden say, well, we're going to run people out of the building. That it's not going to happen. They don't have that philosophy. They don't have the structure on the team in order to do that. And they're not going to panic and try to go in a completely different direction. So that's definitely not going to happen. Having said that, everybody's looking for balance. And you guys, I know we're talking specifically about Ristolainen, as everybody else is. I'm a fan of the guy. I think that he has terrific skills. I think he's been through an awful lot. And being a former defenseman myself, I know what can happen to, especially to young guys on teams that are struggling and giving up an awful lot of goals year after year, and you're getting the majority of the ice time. That's a really tough thing. I think it's more difficult than being the goaltender. I mean, you can't sort it out after a while. So I think that a change of a venue for Ristolainen would be excellent for him wherever he goes, and I'm going to be really interested to see what happens here moving forward.
Do you look at him, do you view him as a top two defenseman in the NHL? Do you view him as a guy who shouldn't be out there for 25 minutes, but he's okay in a 3-4 pairing?
Well, I think he's definitely easily a 3-4. I think that he can be a number two defenseman, depending on, you know, who you're playing with. And, you know, the style of play, as we said. I think it might take him a little while to adapt to a new team. Again, on defense, it's really difficult. There are a lot of changes in how teams play overall, and it affects the defenseman. How do you want me to move the puck, and what are the priorities? And to play with the Tampa Bay Lightning, you get to play with a lot of skilled players. You got to play with tempo. You got to move the puck quickly. And on the good side of things, there is more structure and there is more puck possession. So a guy like him wouldn't have to sort things out as constantly defensively and wonder what he's doing out there. Because he's right-handed, if he played with Victor Hedman, I would say he'd be in a pretty different situation than he's ever been with the Buffalo Sabres. And I think he'd be licking his chops if he got a chance to do that.
With young defensemen, Brian, you mentioned it a moment ago since you played the position in the NHL. So Ristolainen's only 24, but he's got 5.5 years in the league. He's been in the league for over 400 games. Now, granted, this is all part of this question I'm going to ask. It has to do with what team are you on, you know, how are you used, who are the players around you. But with 5.5 years with 400-plus games, do you think you pretty much know who a defenseman is, or do you believe that there's still you can still improve significantly?
Yes, I think yes to both. It's amazing that he's got that many games under his belt when he's only 24 years old. I mean, he's right in his prime right now. That's an amazing stuff. At the same time, again, you know, based on what I said a moment ago, just theoretically, because we're talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning and the talent level that they have, and the fact that pretty well every coach, and John Cooper has been one of those guys that said, I prefer lefties on the left than righties on the right. And they've had issues with having enough right-handed defensemen. That's, you know, why everybody's talking about this here. And because Dan Girardi, who played with Hedman, is likely not going to be back. I mean, they might re-sign him, but even if he does, it does come back, he's not going to be there on a regular basis. He can't stand the minutes that Hedman can. Ristolainen and Ken. So again, that's why the fit that everybody's, you know, putting there. The question is the price, and it's always about the price, isn't it, guys?
Would Tampa move Mikhail Sergachev?
I don't know. Not easily, for sure. They wouldn't do it easily. I don't know if they do it defenseman for defenseman. I'm not sure about that, to be honest with you. He is left-handed. He plays the right side. I actually think he's better on the right side than he is on the left, and he's played a lot of right side. He wants to be that guy that plays with Victor Hedman, for sure, for the reasons we just talked about. I never say never. I think virtually, you know, most of the guys on the team are available. I think in today's game and with the Lightning and the way the salary cap affects their team this year with having to re-sign Braden Point, and that'll be a big number. Mm-hmm. They have to clear some space. Now, they wouldn't clear any space financially with Sergachev because he's still a young kid on an early contract, so that's not an issue. So I would say that they would be very, very reluctant to move him. But it's certainly not an impossibility. As I said, nothing's off the table, I don't think.
I wanted to ask you about a couple forwards, Brian, before we let you go. So, you know, with the rumors of the Sabres in Tampa, let's say it was Ristolainen for a forward. We're hearing a couple names out there. Now, a number of guys have no trade and no move clauses. One of the names we're hearing is JT Miller. He's got a modified no trade, 26 years old, what, I think 4 years of term left, a little over five, almost a dollars for dollars compared to Ristolainen's cap number. What have you thought about JT Miller's time in Tampa, and how would you look at that as a possible trade with the Sabres?
Well, obviously, I don't speak for the management. I'm a JT Miller fan. I think he has been terrific ever since they acquired him. This guy has got some serious skills and is often overlooked on the team because of the other skill level of the other players. But he facilitates an awful lot of great plays. He's really, really good in traffic. He's really good in the corners. He's really good at hanging on to the puck and bringing two guys to him, not just one, before he makes a play to players who know how to get open. He's a hard-nosed player, and he's got some terrific hands. He's got power play experience. I think that he is has been a terrific acquisition. He and McDonough were brought in at the same time, you know, from the New York Rangers, and McDonough was the guy everybody was talking about, and for good reason. But JT Miller is a heck of a hockey player.
The other name is Ryan Callahan, and you talked a moment ago about, you know, financial relief. There's speculation that a trade would include Ryan Callahan, who's got 1 year left at $5.8 million. Has he, you know, I know we'd be talking about a guy on a bottom line with not getting a ton of minutes, but does he have, his body has taken a pounding in his career? Does he have any hockey left?
Yes, I think he does. The cap hit is that high. What he actually makes this year financially is actually a little less. I think it's in the fours, like 4.5 or something. But yeah, the cap hit obviously is significant for the Lightning especially. And because he wasn't playing regularly at the end of the season, because they are so deep, because of the tempo that the Lightning play at and the options that they had, that put Cali on the sideline. And he was terrific about it. He's a terrific pro. I mean, he's former captain of the New York Rangers. You guys know his history. I think there's still a lot of hockey left in him. He is one of the biggest voices in the room for the Tampa Bay Lightning about, you know, he has that ability to get in the guy's face. Not many guys do that anymore and go, hey, you know, let's get going here and let's get playing the right way and that sort of situation. So he's very valuable on a lot of different levels. Yes, he has slowed down, and yeah, because of the way he plays, he's not that big a guy. But it doesn't matter. If Callahan is in the lineup, you get every ounce of effort and strength that he has every night.
Brian, thanks for coming on with us. Nice to have you on the show again. Thank you for giving us your time this morning.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.